Hello and thank you for accessing these resources for Sunday, October 4th, which is the 18th Sunday after Pentecost. O God of truth, we ask you to receive all we offer you this day and make us worthy servants, strong to follow in the pattern of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The gospel reading appointed for today is from Matthew's Gospel, Chapter 21, beginning to read at the 33rd verse. Jesus said to them, "Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. When the harvest time had come, he sent his slaves to the tenants to collect his produce. But the tenants seized his slaves, beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other slaves more than the first, and they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, 'This is the heir. Come, let us seize him, get his inheritance.' So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants?" They said to Jesus, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyards to other tenants who will give him the produce at the harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes.' Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces the fruits of the kingdom. The one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and it will crush anyone on whom it falls." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they realized that he was speaking about them. They wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowds because the crowds regarded Jesus as a prophet. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. May the words of my lips and the thoughts and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Of the many things I have learned about myself, the way in which I approach new experiences is one that has come under more scrutiny lately. Ever since the pandemic restrictions were imposed, I have been faced with new experiences that often require me to learn something new. Now, I truly enjoy learning new things and trying out things I've never done before, but I have learned that it goes much better for me if I'm not thrown into the deep end of the swimming pool. I know some people who seem to enjoy that method. They go full speed into new experiences, but I have a more tentative approach to such things. When taking on a new task, I love it when someone shows me how it's done. Of course, sometimes life doesn't provide that kind of instruction, so I'm no stranger to the deep end of the pool kind of experience. But when I'm given a choice, I much prefer it when I can get some practical instruction. I know I'm not alone in this, since I actually know some people, amazing as this may sound, who read the instructions before operating a new thing. Some of them are even men. Now, you may be wondering what this has to do with the scripture passages appointed for today, so let me try to explain. In one of St. Paul's letters, the one to the Romans, he describes the commandments of God using a word that means tutor. As I have reflected upon this idea, I've come to the realization that the Ten Commandments are best viewed in this way: God showing us how to live this life He has given us in a healthy way. A tutor or guide is much like a set of training wheels on a bicycle. In the beginning, there is often a large amount of reliance placed upon this guidance, but after practice and experience, the help they provided becomes internalized and may seem unnecessary. The principles they teach are still important, and if they are forgotten or ignored, disaster or accidents can occur. The Ten Commandments and the rest of the instruction given through Moses was given to a community that knew very little other than the way in which the Egyptians lived. Now, there were some specifically Jewish practices such as Passover that were retained, but for the most part, they only knew how to live in the way they saw the major culture living. In order for the people of Israel to become the beacon of God they were meant to be, some new behaviors would have to be adopted. The tutor to bring that about was the law, and the goal of that law was the mission of God to use the descendants of Abraham to become a blessing to many nations and to bring the message of God into the wider world. So, to live the way God would have them live, they were instructed to stop worshiping other gods, keep a day of rest each week, honor their parents, keep away from stealing, murdering, coveting, committing adultery, and bearing false witness. These were new behaviors that needed to be practiced until they became second nature and were written on their hearts. The plan of God was to have this rescued people become a shining example of all that God wanted the world to be. And so the instructions and modeling was given as a guide. Unfortunately, that guide was not followed with much consistency, particularly after the death of Moses. The wonderful plan of God for a shining example became a people who were not that much different from the neighboring communities. Instead of being a beacon, the people of Israel put their lamp under a bushel basket, you might say, and conformed to the ways of the world. The potential was never fully realized, even though there were a few bright moments along the way. The people who had been entrusted with God's way and who were tenants in God's land had become unresponsive to God's message. In the 1500 years or so between Moses and Jesus, things hadn't changed all that much. The parable Jesus told in Matthew 21 verses 33 and 44 was directed at the descendants of Abraham who had ignored or reinterpreted the tutor's instructions. So Jesus said, "Hear another parable. There was a householder who planted a vineyard and set a hedge around it and dug a wine press in it and built a tower and let it out to tenants and went into another country." This, of course, was a description in metaphor of what God had done for the descendants of Abraham. They were tenants in God's country who were given charge over the vineyard of God. The behavior described in Jesus' parable of what happened when the landowner came to collect the fruit from the vineyard is a description of the way in which the people of Israel often treated people coming with a message from God. The major points of the parable include the fact that the inheritance of the land upon which the nation of Israel resided was a privilege, not a right. Since it was a privilege, it could be removed by the owner, and, it would seem, Jesus was predicting that very thing. Fruit production seems to be one of the measuring rods used to determine who would be tenants for God's vineyard. As I think of these things, I recall the times when the privilege of driving our father's car was removed from my brothers and I over some failure on our part. We were expected to remember that it was our father's vehicle, and we were only tenants, and so needed to behave in such a way that acknowledged that fact. Keeping the car clean, full of gas, and free of dents was an expectation that was never spelled out in so many words, but resulted in us being banned from driving the car if these conditions were not met. When an infraction was encountered, a temporary suspension of privilege was imposed until the cause of the infraction was corrected. The story of the giving of the commandments is a story of a people given a tremendous privilege, the privilege of living in the promised land in order to become a beacon of hope for the rest of the world, and a story of a people who often did not appreciate that privilege. Instruction manuals, tutors, and training wheels are all meant to assist in bringing about a desired outcome, and when they are ignored, that desired outcome often becomes impossible. As we encounter this story of Moses once again, may we take to heart the amazing privilege we have of being adopted by God into this family and the duty we have to bear fruit. When we have abused that privilege, may we make amends so that we can be restored into the status of good tenant and not risk being cast out. And in all of this, let us always remember that it is by the grace of God that we are drawn into this wonderful journey, and it is for the purpose of being made into beacons for God for the rest of the world. The desire to be all we were meant to be will likely involve us having to come to grips with the instructions to live in a certain way in order to become the people of God. In his letter to the Christians in Philippi, St. Paul urged them to take on the task of following God's way with zeal and undivided attention. He held out to them the need to, as we would say, not rest on their laurels, but to press on to the task of living in order to become the people they were meant to be. I believe this is our task today and every day, to live in accordance with the way of God in order to become the people we were meant to be, beacons for God's life. As we continue to live in these pandemic conditions, may we prayerfully approach this task with the awareness that it is through God's grace that we are included, forgiven, and empowered to continue. Amen.